T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, feels like a Friday. It's actually a Wednesday. I don't care. Ready to have a little bit of fun. I hear Whittingham giggling in the background there. Crowder is off today, tomorrow, and Friday.
I don't care is a bizarre way. I don't care.
Like, I'm off.
You don't care about what?
Tomorrow and Friday as well. And so today I will do the show with Chris Whittingham. I don't care. I don't care. It feels like Friday. It's actually Wednesday. It's 2020.
Yesterday felt like Friday to me, and then all of a sudden, late afternoon, you text me, hey, can you do the show? And it's like, well, it's no longer Friday then.
Yeah, why not? This feels like a Friday. Friday to me.
Yeah, let's have some fun for 4 hours.
We are going to do that. We're going to have some fun for 4 hours. I do want to talk about a bunch of stuff that's gone on. I think the biggest breaking news today for football fans, if today indeed was a football Friday, although it's Wednesday, but I don't care. But the Ravens-Steelers game was postponed. That's moved to Sunday. So now Thursday, where you get that triple header of football. And by the way, you youngsters don't remember. When I was a kid, it wasn't a triple header of football.
Oh, so no. I remember a time when there was no third game, 100%.
That's right.
I think the seminal moment for the late Thursday game was the butt fumble. It wasn't until the butt fumble that, for me, like I really became like enamored with that third game, and then all of a sudden it kind of became part of canon, right? You had that third game. But I remember when that was first introduced. It was like originally a sort of a way of programming something for the NFL Network on a Thursday night, and then
it became a much bigger deal. Correct. And I'm going to miss it. I love having the three games on Thursday, but here's what I have found within my text threads amongst friends, including Chris Whittingham, I believe, on one of them. The moment this Ravens-Steelers game got canceled, everyone's lighting me up with, oh, these two games we're left with are crap. Oh, what an awful docket of football that we have on Thursday.
Why are you saying that sardonically, as if it's not completely true?
Because it's football. It's football on Thanksgiving. Like, I am beyond belief. This is more than one text thread. I am beyond belief at the reaction from people going, oh, I don't want to watch a Texans-Lions game or a Washington-Dallas game. I don't want to watch those. Then don't watch them, but then also don't call yourself a football fan. Oh, and by the way, don't call yourself a fan of Thanksgiving. Because that's part of Thanksgiving. So if you're going to critique what football games are on Thanksgiving, then you just don't understand the holiday. Sit back and enjoy. I'll go back to how I started the show. Houston, Detroit, Washington, Dallas, I don't care. I'll be in front of my TV watching football.
It's just, look, we get stuck with the Lions every year. We hope that every year something will turn for them. And then the going gets shut up by Carolina, right? So you're already feeling bad about the Lions. Then, you know, if ahead of the season, if you had said Lions-Texans, I'd be like, you know what? I can get down with Lions-Texans.
Who doesn't want to watch Deshaun Watson? He's having an MVP season.
And you know what? His most recent games have been pretty good. I can easily be turned around on that one. But, oof, Dallas-Washington. Oof.
Well, first of all, Dallas Washington has great stakes on the game. I mean, there's
no,
stakes.
No, it doesn't. No, it does.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. There's, you can. Yes. I don't care if any one of those teams can win the division. They all stink. And
it doesn't matter. There's
to be in the,
stakes.
No,
when
no,
there's
they don't
stakes
deserve
on
to be
the
in
game,
the postseason. They're not fun to watch.
That's not true. Alex Smith is an unbelievable story. And Andy Dalton is back. Andy Dalton played well last week. So I have no problem. I'm just saying, I have no problem with the two games tomorrow. I wish there were three, but I have no problem with the two games tomorrow. And if somebody's not going to watch because they don't feel the competition is up to snuff for a Thanksgiving, get out of here with that nonsense.
But here's the thing, Hawk, is that earlier this year, Our friend Josh Appel and myself were in a text group, and I was complaining vigorously about Jets Broncos Thursday Night Football, which actually ended up being
one
an entertaining
of the greatest
game.
Games I ever watched. Yep.
But by the way, which feature
reminds
also
me of the Eagles Bears Fog Bowl in '86? For memory's sake.
But the thing is, though, is that like you basically are arguing that any NFL game that is praised,
yes,
that is placed in a primetime window is worth watching. So you have
no. I'll even take it a step further. It doesn't have to be in a primetime window. Any NFL game is great and fun to watch. You only get 16, 17 weeks a season of it, and then the postseason. I relish. I am already.
This is how I feel.
I already am sad that football's coming to an end. I'm not even kidding you. You know, I get out of my, I have a little living room area with my 85-inch TV. When I'm done watching football on Saturday or Sunday, well, no, it's not a humble brag. I've pointed it out on this show a million times. I bought an 85-inch TV because I have a small penis. So it has nothing to do with being a humble brag. But when I'm done watching TV on Saturday or Sunday, I thank my room for allowing me that day. Wow. And I only get, 20 weeks a year to do that. And so I love all football. I really do. I love all football. So it drives me crazy to see everybody complaining about the two games that are left on Thursday. I'm so excited for tomorrow.
In fairness, in May, right? In May, we're all going, we miss football, right?
Of course.
In July, we miss football. And you would take, at that point, Lions Texans noon on a Thursday in a second, right?
I'll take Lions Texans tomorrow, 12:30. I'll take it. Like I it's November 25th. I miss football already because there wasn't a game yesterday.
I mean, there's other sports, Huck. You can watch other things.
Agree to disagree.
You can watch The Office with commercials.
I do watch that all the time. I love that. We're going to talk a little Thanksgiving. Going to talk a little football. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Let's get headlines, though, with Alejandro Solana.
These are your headlines from the Modelo Especial Sports Desk. Just realized I didn't grab my headlines from the printer. So, in a second here.
You have to make something up on the fly here. Need some help?
Dan, you want to go get the headlines? Is Dan around? Does he know where the printer is?
Don't make Dan. I can go to the printer. I print out, I send myself the headlines in case I forget to go to the printer. It actually happens quite often. I'm ready.
Oh, all right. Okay. So you actually had a backup plan.
I did. Yeah, I had a backup plan.
Oh, look at that. All right. Yeah. It wasn't a seamless backup plan just based on the way you had to vamp there, but a backup plan nonetheless.
Well, I didn't realize I didn't print them until you called for me, and I reached over, and they were not there.
Yeah. Oh, I got you.
Look at Dan Day, MVP.
Love you. Look at that. Put your mask on, Dan.
I love an in the background. Love you.
All right. Go ahead, Solana.
Tomorrow's Thanksgiving Day games, which Hawk is excited for. 12:30, Houston at Detroit.
Are you not, Solana? Are you?
No, I'm with you, actually, Hawk.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, I'm excited for football. Thanksgiving Day. It's not Thanksgiving without football. Tired of everybody complaining about the games. I'm with you, Hawk.
It just feels more and more perfunctory every year. Like, it's something that you have to do, but it's not something you're excited about.
Well, okay, then that's a statement on your life, then. I mean, no one's making you watch football. If you don't want to watch it anymore and you feel like you have a need to, something you got to figure out on your own.
I would like to be excited about Thanksgiving football, right?
But and if you're not, that's on you.
No, but
like
what
that's
saying,
my point.
No,
if
it's
you
the
can only
football.
Oh, stop it. If you can only get excited if
last
it's a Steelers-Ravens game, then you don't like football.
No, if like the Lions were entertaining, if the Texans were entertaining, I guess the Texans are entertaining, but like for me, like a year ago, right? So a year ago, you would have made the same argument. I'll watch the Lions. I don't care. And then David Blau was the starting quarterback last year.
But it doesn't matter.
Awful. No, it was awful.
I watched an entire Cowboys game where Ben DiNucci was the quarterback. I don't care.
I mean, but you should watch other things.
It's a great text. It's like bad sex. Just because you notice that it's bad doesn't make you less of a fan of it. It's just bad sex. I'm with that. Like, you're going to turn down sex because it's bad sex? No. Somebody says, I dare Hawk to watch the Texans-Lions game without gambling on it. Well, now you've gone too far, Texter. Zero chance. I can't watch Netflix without gambling on it anymore.
So basically, the reason why you're down with watching this game is because you're going to have $250 on the Lions.
Exactly.
Okay.
Do you think I should do that?
You know, I'm gonna join you on whatever you're gambling on tomorrow.
All right.
so that I can feel alive.
Fair enough.
You know what? Actually, I'll bet against you. Tell me what you're picking, and then I'll bet against you so we can have some friendly rivalry during the game.
You're going to play don't at the craps table?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
All right.
The DP, the don't pass line. Yeah.
There you go. Whatever makes you happy.
Some Dolphins notes from today. Christian Wilkins, he was back at practice today.
Very good.
This one was weird. Sauvin Ahmed, he was absent.
He's back at practice. He didn't finish the story, but back at practice because he's been removed from the COVID-19 list.
Correct.
Yeah.
Sauvin Ahmed, he was absent from Dolphins practice today. So was Shaq Lawson and Solomon Kinley. They both did not practice. And Miles Gaskin, he practiced in a non-contact jersey.
All right.
The Dolphins play the Jets Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern. And we'll get you started on 560 WQAM with Chris Whittingham and Channing Crowder, 9 a.m.
There you go, Whittingham. What do you got planned for the Dolphins pregame show on Sunday?
Well, I imagine I'll try and talk myself into how the Jets can compete, right? Because now last week on Dolphins pregame, we had this whole thing about how we're going to be confident now. We're going to be confident Dolphins fans, and we're not going to, you know, when is the negative turn happening? We're going to have some confidence. We're going to believe in the team. We're going to believe that they're good, and then they lost to the Broncos. So now I think I'm going back to doomsday where I'm trying to figure out, well, hang on a second. Joe Flacco dropped 29 on the Chargers. Can you do it to the Dolphins too? Like, I think I'm going back to my negative ways of trying to, you know, wait and see where the danger around the corner is.
Yeah, no, I mean, after last week, you really do have to have your guard up, I guess. And obviously, if Adam Gase wants to win one game, it's that game against the Dolphins. So have a little something to talk about. You'll hear it Sunday, as Solana said, on 560 The Joe. What else you got, Solana?
Alabama's Nick Saban, he tested positive for COVID-19 and will miss the Auburn game this Saturday.
Yeah, you remember earlier, it was last month, he had ostensibly tested positive, and then it was found that it was a false negative, which is why he ended up on the sideline that Saturday. This time he actually experienced some mild symptoms, so he would definitely not be on the sidelines for the Iron Bowl.
I've always wondered when it comes to the COVID stories, like what is critical mass, right? Like what is a tipping point for COVID, like actually, you know, let's have a conversation about stopping, right? And I've for me, it's always, you know, the danger of a really famous figure getting sick. Because, like, for example, there's a Bills player who's going to miss the rest of the season with myocarditis that he picked up while having COVID, right? There's a player who will not play, but that person's not deemed to be important enough to stop the machine. Who is the person that's important enough to stop the machine? And it, figures like Nick Saban are among them, but I still don't know what that answer is.
Yeah, I don't think that there is a figure at this point that can stop the machine of college football or the NFL, knowing that there are big name figures attached to it. I remember when the Marlins had their outbreak of COVID at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the league went on and continued playing. And we had Bob Nightingale on with us. And he said, you know, if this was the Yankees that had the exact same outbreak that the Marlins were, very possible that the entire league would stop until the Yankees were better.
I mean, well, like, I just, you know, I get it, right?
Life.
It's just, right, of course, it's just a measure of fame. But, like, but that for me is the thing, right? It is the measure of fame. It is, you know, the Tom Hanks moment that started this, right? Like, if you know, I don't know, some other actor, maybe our lives wouldn't have stopped in quite the same way because it was Tom Hanks. Or, you know, if an arena in Oklahoma City hadn't been cleared out by one COVID case, like would we have taken this as seriously? Like, there's all these kind of tipping points that have happened. I've just always wondered, like, what would it take for, you know, the whole of sports society? Because, like, I mean, even the notion, like, you know, there's college football playoff rankings, the Hurricanes were 10th, but Washington and Utah are playing a game that they just made up, right? Washington had an opponent that can't play due to COVID. Utah had an opponent who couldn't play due to COVID. So they call each other and went, hey, you want to play this weekend? And, like, that's literally the nature of football right now. And what even is that as a competition, as a structure? Like, what even is the point of that?
I love it, though. I love it because it shows that Americans and the world really is resilient. I mean, you're dealt with something that you think might be the end of something, and you figure out a way around it. I kind of feel like college football and the NFL, Solana, maybe you'll back me up on this one, is like Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to believe it anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not leaving.
I'm not going to believe it anywhere.
I'm not leaving. Because you really want to compare yourself to the moral scruples of the Wolf of Wall Street.
All right, what else you got, Solana?
All right, quickly here, I'm going to run through some important stuff. UM women's basketball, their season opens today at 1 p.m. actually versus the Dolphins, Jacksonville Dolphins. And
JU.
Yes, JU marks an important year for Katie Meyer, her 20th season as a head coach.
We love Coach Katie Meyer. She's one of our favorite regular guests.
16, yeah. 16 in Miami, 16, but her 20th season as a head coach.
Do we have an update on the game? It started at 1.
I do not, but
okay, good job.
I will have a final score.
We covered that earlier on our text thread, but
I will
that's
have
all
a
right.
final score at 3 p.m.
All right. You have an appointment for a final score?
I mean, the game will be over by then. And the big news today, I thought when you were speaking about your excitement for football news at the top of the hour, you were talking about this. Diego Maradona, he died today at age 60, legendary Argentine soccer player, world renowned.
I'm sorry. You thought that was my excitement? You thought my excitement for football was Maradona dying?
Well, no. I mean, you mentioned big
no,
news.
You had built up to big news in the world of football.
Oh, right. Okay. All right.
It wasn't excitement, you know.
Yeah, the way he said that, I was like, what? What do you think of me?
By the way, the Hurricanes lead at Jacksonville in the third quarter, 40-32.
Well, we're waiting for the final. Solana's going to have that at 3, apparently.
Yes, Maradona did die, though. Boca Juniors, Napoli star, also the 1986 World Cup winner for Argentina.
Mano de Dios, the hand of God. He illegally handballed the goal and then ran through the entire England defense to score.
Not illegal if you don't call it.
I mean, in VAR, that would not have stood.
You can't do that, though. But you can't do that. There was no VAR. But there was no VAR back then.
I know, but, I mean, he's still, you know, someone should have spotted it. How did the assistant not spot it? It's not like he was, you know, around a mass of people. Like, someone could have seen it.
Who would have thought that we'd be relitigating the hand of God play right now on
35 years
on this
later.
Radio
it's amazing.
Show. All right. Anything else, Solana?
No, let's finish this. Those are your headlines. Sponsored by Modelo Especial, the perfect beer for your home tailgate. Modelo Especial, a beer brewed with the fighting spirit. Your weather update from the Exogen Weather Center right now in South Florida. Partly cloudy. Tonight, the lows will drop to around 72 degrees. Right now, 79 outside in Miami. That is your weather.
All right. By the way, you know, we were talking about the football games tomorrow. You will hear them both on AM 560, FM 96.5 HD2, The Joe. So the third game, obviously, not going to happen. That's postponed until Sunday. But you will hear Texans, Lions, and Washington, Dallas tomorrow, 560 WQAM, The Joe. We're going to talk with Ben Volen in the next segment. Ben Volen, who's the senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe. We've had him on a couple times since his very controversial tweets that essentially said Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better quarterback than Tua Tagovailoa right now, and he feels a little bit redeemed in that opinion based on what happened last week with the Dolphins. So we'll talk with Ben Volen from the Boston Globe here next on Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show. Hawk and Crowder.
All right. Ben Volen was feeling punch drunk crazy after Brian Flores sat down Tua Tagovailoa in the fourth quarter. We're going to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Ben Volen, friend of the program. He is a senior NFL writer at the Boston Globe. And Ben, you outraged everyone in Miami. It was a few weeks ago. You tweeted something along the line that there's no way anyone that can say Tua Tagovailoa is a better quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick right now. And then we had a couple great games from Tua and the Dolphins. And we brought you back on the show to make you eat crow, which I don't recall you actually admitting that you were wrong.
And then the moment Tua got benched in the fourth quarter, I received a text from you crowing that you were actually right. So explain yourself, Ben. How are you feeling? Have you been proven right?
I feel burdened today. I'm just feeling this heavy burden. It's not easy always being right. I mean, it's just always having the correct takes, always having a right opinion. It's a burden, and you know, God has given me this burden. I've had to deal with it, but I hate to say.
I feel that same burden. By the way, I feel that same burden. I completely understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, and you understand. So, you know, we just have to deal with it. But look, if you're a Dolphins fan, I think you just have to decide what this season's all about. And from what I get, the sense that I get from all the fans that I hear from on Twitter, everyone's cool with just making this a Tua developmental year, which I think is nuts. I think the Dolphins have a good team. It's like, how many weeks in a row now have they scored a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown or blocked a punt? I mean, they are a very well-rounded three-phase kind of football team. I really like what Brian Flores has built there. And I don't think you need, like, Peyton Manning at quarterback. You just need decent quarterback play, and this team could make some noise. And it's like everyone down there is just written off this season. Well, we're not going to win anyway, and we've got to see what we have in Tua, and he needs the time to grow and to develop. It's like that is hogwash. You need to strike while the iron's hot. You've got a good team. And even though they're out of the playoffs right now, I still think they're in good position. You can win games. If you get hot at the right time, you can make a deep playoff run. I mean, look at, like, the Tennessee Titans last year. Whoever thought that team with Ryan Tannehill would be going to the AFC Championship game? So I'm just shocked at how so many people in Miami are just willing to be like, whatever, all that matters is developing Tua this year. They have a good team, and I think with Ryan Fitzpatrick, they could win a few more games and make some serious noise.
See, here's where I would disagree with you, because I'm not a fan of putting Ryan Fitzpatrick back there, but I have not written off the season at all. In my opinion, the feel that I get from Dolphins fans is that Tua Tagovailoa actually gives them a better chance to win games. I thought the folly in putting Ryan Fitzpatrick in the fourth quarter is he did exactly what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. He threw an interception. You know, everybody wants to go, oh, he sparked the offense. The offense actually moved. They brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Bottom line, he put an additional 3 points on the board and he threw an interception. That's what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. I'd much rather take my chances with Tua there. If I'm trying to win a game and get to the playoffs, give me Tua in that situation every time.
It's funny, too, how many people down there are just focusing on the interception. And look, obviously, that is the game-crushing play, and you can't look over an interception. But you said it. Ryan Fitzpatrick was in there for two drives and immediately started moving the ball up and down the field way better than Tua did all afternoon. Now, obviously, it ended in classic Ryan Fitzpatrick fashion, but this is a guy who came in cold off the bench with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I mean, who knows how different that game would have been if Fitzy's taken the reps during the week and the game plan is designed around him instead of Tua, to just put this loss on him, as so many Dolphins fans have, just because he threw the one pick at the end. I think you're missing the forest for the trees there. It's like this guy moved the team. And if anyone knows, it's Brian Flores. And to me, the fact that Brian Flores benched Tua after taking the sixth sack and put in Fitzy, that – Flores is your head coach. He has he has more information than all of us, and he knew. He turned to Fitzpatrick, and it almost paid off. He almost came back and won the game. So I'm not writing off Tua by any stretch. I still think he's got a good career ahead of him. I just think they had the perfect situation where they could have sat him for longer, and the team was going well, and then they made the switch at quarterback, and it just throws kind of a monkey wrench into the whole equation right now. Like, they should have done what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes and just sit him for the entire year. You can still develop even when you're not playing. And I think Fitzy right now, right this second, is the better quarterback. He moves the offense better. He has a better command of the huddle, better pocket presence. He's probably not taking those six sacks against Denver. I just think Fitzpatrick is the better player, and there are probably a lot of players in that locker room who are wondering, why are we not playing the better quarterback right now?
And I generally agree. We're joined here by Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. I generally agree with that assessment. I think on Sunday, Ryan Fitzpatrick would have given them a better chance to win. And when he was placed in the game, I think he gave them a better chance to win. But I do want to get back to this long-termism versus short-termism argument. And you're basically making the argument on behalf of, well, the Dolphins are good, right? But I guess my question is, how good and how important is that? Because if you can't beat the Steelers and the Chiefs, right? And look, maybe you can say, well, maybe they get COVID and you can go to the Super Bowl anyway. But if you don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl, then ultimately your chance towards long-term sustainable chances at the Super Bowl is Tua being good. And so giving him the opportunity to be good now is bigger than Ryan Fitzpatrick winning you some games. Why for you is any short-term success of any import, given that their only chance of winning a Super Bowl is Tua being good?
Because I don't see it that way. And I guarantee you, Brian Flores and a lot of people in that building don't see it that way. Look how they spent in free agency this year, giving massive dollars to Byron Jones and then Kyle Van Noy and bringing in good glue guys like Ted Karras. This team is built to win now. This team is not built to develop and be ready in 3 years. They want to win now. And there's nothing wrong with going for it. I don't see it as a dead end this year. I think they have... I mean, look how well-rounded they are on defense and special teams. They're constantly, every week, making big plays and giving Tua a short field or scoring points. This is a good football team. And, yeah, who's to say that they can't make a deep playoff run? I think their defense is good enough that absolutely come January, the defense could carry them to, you know, who knows how deep in the playoffs. I think they would be crazy if they were just like, no, this is all about developing Tua and making sure he gets the reps. Like, I understand it with the Bengals, with Joe Burrow. Like, the Bengals are going nowhere this year. They've got a lot of young players around him. They're trying to build something together. The Dolphins have a good team, and they spent big money in free agency. They have excellent cornerbacks. They've got a really impressive defense. They're doing, like, the amoeba thing that the Patriots did for so long with all these guys standing up and moving around before the snap. I think the Dolphins have a good team, and I think you're psyching yourself out. There's no reason why this team couldn't make a deep run. And look, I know that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a roller coaster and he's, you know, interceptions waiting to happen. I would have waited until he was playing poorly to make the switch. You know, it's one thing if the team starts struggling and he's, you know, bottoming out and playing like the Fitzpatrick that we know. But they were playing well. They were finally starting to click. And then they made the quarterback switch. And look, I think Brian Flores was sending a message to his ownership and to the upper management there at the Dolphins by making that quarterback switch last week, that he still believes that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the better answer for the team right now. And, you know, we could focus on the interception all day. And I know there were two other passes he threw that were almost picked, but he also had him in position at the end to win or at least to tie. And I don't know that Tua would have even had the Dolphins in that position. So to me, you're crazy if you're not trying to win now. I think this is a good team. The division is still kind of wide open. The AFC, who knows? And in a COVID year, yeah, I mean, shoot, the Chiefs could come down with COVID and who knows. So I think they'd be crazy to not try to maximize the season and do as much as they can.
I think that's exactly what they're doing, though, not to just beat a dead horse here, but you keep talking about they were playing well under Ryan Fitzpatrick, but they played better under Tua. I mean, you're taking one game and you're picking apart. All it was a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter. That can be overcome pretty easily. So I think you're kind of ignoring the games that Tua, where they played, people were talking about them on ESPN and NFL Network as one of the best teams, one of the most surprising teams in the NFL. So I want to move on, though. Ben Volen's here to apologize, and I think he's done a fantastic job of it so far. What were you saying, Whittingham?
No, I was just going to say, like, was that success because of Tua, though, right? I think that's what
it's not in spite of Tua.
In the Rams game, you could argue it was.
Okay, so the first game, you know, they weren't as open, but you can't, like, it's real convenient to say, well, if Ryan Fitzpatrick hadn't thrown the interception, he had two nice drives, but he did throw the interception. And then with Tua, it's real convenient to say, well, even though they did well under him, maybe it's not because of him. Like, we're picking and choosing here. I mean, those three games under Tua, they looked really good.
Well, they didn't look really good against the Rams. He only threw for what, 92 yards?
And but the team
again,
looked really
they
good.
Yeah, I mean, he's good in the red zone. He hasn't thrown a pick yet, I don't believe. But clearly he's not feeling the pocket and reading the defense. I mean, six sacks the other day, that's That's not all on the offensive line. That's on the quarterback.
And don't get me wrong. I was frustrated by his play. Like I wasn't sitting there going, what are you doing? This guy's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. Like, I was frustrated that he wasn't looking to scramble at all. I was frustrated that he was holding on the ball for as long as he was. But just I'm just telling you, based on what I've seen from Ryan Fitzpatrick throughout his career and what I know from Tua at Alabama, if I'm down 10 points in the fourth quarter, I want it to be Tua that's orchestrating the comeback. Because more often than not, I feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick, that comeback's going to end in an interception. And it did.
So you feel like Brian Flores made a big mistake by benching Tua last week?
Huge mistake. Huge mistake. As did Crowder, by the way. We've both been, and I love Brian Flores. I've made this example on the radio myriad times this week. I love our program director, Len Weiner. It doesn't mean that I agree with every decision that he makes, but I still love him. Brian Flores, I love the fact that he's the head coach. I thought that was one of the worst decisions I've ever seen an NFL head coach make.
So Hawk, let me ask you a question. What is the mistake?
The mistake is if you have a quarterback that is embarrassing himself, he's thrown three picks, they're down 35-3, and you want to save him, you want to mercy rule him, take him out, bring in relief. But I would submit to you, there is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. And when I say starting quarterback, I mean an entrenched starter where you know that team is that person's team, right? He has been either over the years been given the keys to the team like an Aaron Rodgers, or has just been handed the keys to the team, a Justin Herbert, a Joe Burrow, a Tua Tagovailoa. I would submit to you there is not a single starting quarterback in the NFL that would have gotten benched in the fourth quarter only down 10 points when he hasn't even thrown an interception during the game. Tell me the person.
If it's a Ben DiNucci,
I get it. But I think it was a bad mistake. That's what it tells me. I think he made a bad coaching decision. I think his gut said to him, Fitzpatrick gives me a better chance here, and I don't think it was the right decision. I don't think it's great. Like, I think you're taking it as a greater point of Brian Flores saying something, and I think it was a muffed punt. I think he fumbled it there.
Yeah, but that's not a muff punt. That's a deliberate decision where you're factoring in everything you know about the players. And Tua is your young franchise quarterback, your first round pick, the guy that everyone has anointed and has their hopes and dreams riding on, and he yanked him in his fourth start. He yanked him in
right.
the fourth
Big
quarter.
Mistake.
To your
Big
point,
mistake.
And he hadn't thrown a pick. He didn't, you know, wasn't just spraying the ball over the yard, but he clearly wasn't moving the offense. And Brian Flores, who knows the situation and the facts better than any of us,
no doubt,
he decided that Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to be a better option. Look, up here in New England, Cam Newton had a dreadful October. You know, the 49ers game, they got blown out. It was pathetic. And Belichick still didn't go to Jarrett Stidham because it's not about getting the young kid reps. It's about playing your best players. And Cam Newton, even when he was dreadful, was still a much better player than Jarrett Stidham, so Belichick has stuck by him. If Tua was that much better, if he was the best option, you're not...
Well, then why do you think he's starting him this Sunday against the Jets? That's why I think it was a muffed punt, because I if he really thought Ryan Fitzpatrick was better, he'd start him Sunday.
And also, do we think that Brian Flores deep down thinks that Ryan Fitzpatrick has been better than Tua all along, and what does that say?
I mean, look, I don't know this. I'm just speculating. But my hunch is it's not a football decision. My hunch is it's decisions being made above Brian Flores, the owner, the team president, upper management. Tua is their shiny new toy. He's the hope. He's the future of the franchise. They're not selling Ryan Fitzpatrick jerseys. They're selling Tua jerseys. So it just feels like all along that the plan, you know, the coach promised the owner, hey, we'll get to the bye, and then we'll play Tua after the bye. And then they moved the bye up this year, and they stuck to it. So when you say, you know, why are they sticking with Tua, I don't know that it's purely a football decision. To me, it reeks of something going on above that.
Ben Volen from the Boston Globe. Apology accepted, Ben.
only for you, Hawk. Only for you, my friend.
What are you having for Thanksgiving? Turkey and what? What are you having?
Apple pie, like four pieces of apple pie.
Really? Apple pie is your go-to Thanksgiving dessert?
With vanilla ice cream, absolutely. That All right. is, you can't All miss right. with that.
Sweet potato pie, oh. is that at the Volan household?
We don't do sweet potato. We got a pumpkin pie, which I'm not a pumpkin person, but we have.
Yeah, not a fan.
My other favorite, it doesn't matter what holiday, I always make is, got to have deviled eggs. Big fan
Ooh,
of.
Really?
We have one of those platters just for the deviled eggs. We get to use it like twice a year.
Wow. I didn't know there was a deviled egg platter.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Each has individual slots for the eggs. It's very cool.
Wow.
Wow. Well, look at you.
I had no idea that there was China for deviled eggs.
Green bean casserole, mac and cheese, anything like that?
Definitely mac and cheese. My wife is, she and her sister are making all the sides, so I don't really know.
Gotcha.
This is kind of their surprise, but they guaranteed me deviled eggs and apple pie, so that's all I really
You like dinner rolls, dinner rolls with the turkey, or you like a biscuit, like a buttermilk biscuit?
Neither, to be honest. I eat so much food that I'm not going to waste it. Like my wife and I, we call worth it bread. Is it worth
Ooh.
It? And to me, it's not worth it tomorrow. I'd rather eat the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you go to like a Brazilian steakhouse and then they offer you the salad bar. It's like, no, I don't need
right.
I don't need a salad bar. I need
right.
I need every available bit of real estate in my stomach for
hard
you know,
not the, to grab the, a piece of bread though. That's totally fair.
If you are gonna eat the bread, it's gotta be the King's Hawaiian sweet rolls.
Oh, the best. Oh. You Fantastic. Are speaking my language, the sweet rolls from Hawaiian. Oh, the best. All right, Ben Volan from the Boston Globe. Tweet him. Don't text me. Thank you, Ben. Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm glad we could find some common ground there at the end.
We'll see you, Ben. Ben Volan from the Boston Globe there. Talking about Thanksgiving there. Maybe you're frying a turkey for Thanksgiving. You want to make sure you have enough propane left in the tank. And if you listen to this show, you know you can get that first tank of Cinch delivered straight to your door for just $10 when you use the promo code GETCINCH. So maybe you're trying a new take on turkey, deep frying it. I love it that way. Cinch.com, such a great service. You're going to do some grilling over this long holiday weekend. You know, you run out of propane in the tank. The tank is empty. Instead of you having to go take it to the store and replace it or whatnot, you just go online. Cinch.com, CYNCH.com. Put in the promo code GETCINCH. You get that first tank exchange for just $10. But Cinch comes right to your home. They will take away your empty propane tank. Does not matter what brand it is. They will take it away, and they will drop off for you a brand new filled tank of propane, totally contactless. And by the way, there's no club to join. There's no contracts to sign. There's no delivery fees. It's as easy and simple as I make it sound. So go to cinch.com, CYNCH.com. Make sure you put in the promo code GETCINCH. It is ridiculously easy to order. Happy holidays from my friends at cinch.com. We'll take a break, come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show. Hock and Crowder.
Ben Volan, highly controversial on the radio, according to the text machine, based on his deviled eggs take. End of the interview, but here are a couple of the texts. My family, we also have deviled eggs. We're making them tomorrow as well. Somebody else texts in, I'm black, and I love the deviled egg platter.
I can
tear those up, and we ask, Crowder and I always ask when you're texting in to text in what color you are what gender, and
because
like, you don't know.
We like to
separate stuff by race, gender, religion.
I didn't realize one of the many things that divided the races was deviled eggs.
But here's a text. This guy likes deviled eggs, and I'm supposed to trust his take on QBs. So as you can see, it really goes both ways on this.
I do feel bad for people that like deviled eggs, because there are very few. Like, do people who really like deviled eggs just go to Publix and include it as part of their regular grocery stop? Do you go to a restaurant and order deviled eggs?
My wife loves deviled eggs, and I do not. And oftentimes they'll have them as an appetizer at certain restaurants, and I'm always like, just order it. Eat as many as you want. Like,
yeah, it feels like an event hors d'oeuvre more than it feels like something
right.
more than something you just
normal.
Eat at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to snack on something. Go grab some deviled eggs.
What's the Whittingham family having for Thanksgiving? What's on the menu?
Well, actually, we have decided because of we normally hold a fairly significant gathering. And so we have decided not to do traditional Thanksgiving food. And so we are going to have a paella on offer tomorrow night.
Really?
Yeah, just like fully scrapping the Thanksgiving concept. Wow. We've literally done it at our house for as long as I can remember. Full on turkey, up at 5 in the morning to prepare it. Like it's the full on experience. And my parents are fairly sick of it. So they've decided to go for paella this year.
And is someone making the paella or are you bringing it in?
No, we're bringing it in.
Very interesting. What about you, Solana? What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I like the paella, by the way, Woody. That's nice. That's that's a nice way to deviate from a normal traditional Thanksgiving.
The only reason that he's telling you that he likes it, Whittingham, is so that he can say paella. Yeah, paella. Exactly. Yeah, I know
just
his
the
bits.
Way, just the way I say it. No bit there. No bit there. I'm a big paella fan.
Yeah.
God. Oh, my God.
Tomorrow is actually.
I almost called you my brother, Solana. It's a Spanish word. It is not a word from your.
You're
from,
buying
from whatever
it. He's
your
fishing.
Is.
He's fishing. I've seen this lure. This lure is so obvious.
But
and you're the dumb fish nibbling at it.
I need the audience to know that only Argentinians and Uruguayans would pronounce it paella.
Paella.
And no, it's like sha, like an SH. And like, it is a Spanish food. They would say it paella. Like, they would not say it that way.
What are you doing, Solana, for
tomorrow,
Thanksgiving?
Well, normally we would go to my extended family's house for a traditional Thanksgiving dinner. But because of the COVID-19 situation, we're going to do a smaller, more intimate setting or party at my parents' house, just the immediate family. But tomorrow's actually Daniel's 35th birthday.
Happy birthday, Daniel Solana. Yeah. Very exciting.
So we'll do a little Thanksgiving. Daniel's going to cook the turkey. And there will be deviled eggs, by the way, because it tastes
really?
Solana family favorite. Yep.
Really?
Yeah. No joke.
How about
No bit. Yeah, we love our deviled eggs at the Solana.
What about you, Dan Day? What do you have on the docket for Thanksgiving?
Asked a lot of family members if I could visit for Thanksgiving, and they told me no. And I said, well, COVID-19. They were like, oh, yeah, COVID-19. That's...
Yeah, so it'll be a Minez sandwich?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to be here at the radio station helping run the football games, and then I'll probably go home and have a Minez sandwich and maybe some Funky Buddha beer. Treat myself on Thanksgiving.
There you go. All right. Well, maybe I got to put something a little bit to. Maybe I got to put something together for Dan a little bit.
I was going to say, Hawk,
I'm feeling a little bad here.
Hawk, if not for COVID-19, Dan Day would be a guest at the Hockman household, correct?
No. I'm going to buy him something. I don't want him here, but I'm thinking about buying him a nice Thanksgiving dinner.
But let's
I don't
say
want
he
him
could,
here.
But let's say he couldn't give you coronavirus.
This has nothing to do with COVID. This has nothing to do with COVID. I don't want him
invite
here.
Him. You wouldn't invite him.
You sound like terrible. My family members. This has nothing to do with COVID. I don't want you at my house.
That's terrible.
All right. Well, we are going to talk a little Thanksgiving later on in the program. I'll tell you what Coach Brian Flores is having at his house. We're going to take a little trip in the 3 o'clock hour to Viva Hawk Vegas.
Oh, no.
Normally do this on Fridays, but since we're off the rest of the week, there's a chance by next week you will be staring at Whittingham's nipple. And later on in today's program, Safid Dean from the Sun Sentinel is going to join us. We got a lot of stuff to get to. We'll take a quick break and come back on Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show. Hawk and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.